Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guests today, Rob Riggle and Chris Gethard. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, earlier today, he collected pool for a Mega Millions office pool. Collected money. And then he fired everyone who participated. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, that's me. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We love that you share. It's free. I see the ratings every week, and I thank you for that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
If I hear the truth, I know it.
That's me.
Sharp.
And Rob Riggle in studio.
Hello.
The truth. Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
We'll do the sports or Riggle's picks, by the way. And I'll tell you about the podcast and everything else. The Truth Williams. Yeah, there was a heavyweight boxer, Carl the Truth Williams. There was a heavyweight boxer when we were in the dog days of heavyweights after the summit that was we reached a summit of the 70s heavyweights with the Fraziers and the Alis and the Nortons and the Larry Holmeses and all that. Carl the Truth Williams was around in like the 80s, mid 80s. There's a whole bunch of like sort of no names in the heavyweight division back then, and Carl the Truth was one of them.
There's something oddly intimidating about that moniker.
The Truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Iron Mike. Okay, we get it, but like the Truth. Oh, shit.
Well, it's psychological. Yeah. It's psychological warfare, too. Because you're like, shit, I'm not only going to take a physical beating, I might have to face some demons.
Right.
There's a reckoning coming.
Right.
Yeah. There's I'm going to molest you with my jab like your stepdad did so many years ago. And by the way, I'm going to start to the body like stepdad did. He must have lost to one of the many guys that probably just lost to Tyson at some point when Tyson was 13 and, on the way up. Maybe had like a WBO or WBC or some sort of belt, some strap, some not unified heavyweight, whatever.
First round knockout loss to Tyson 89.
Please
tell me he's under a minute.
It's very.
It had to be. It was back when it was that streak of under minute knockouts.
Yeah. Although Tyson is an interesting story and an interesting metaphor for life, which is he was a bully in the ring and outside the ring. He was super effective because he was effective for the same reason bullies are effective. Once they get you sort of on your heels and backpedaling and stuttering a little, it's easy to get you into your locker and slam the door shut.
There's also an aura around bullies like there was around Tyson. Like, oh, don't mess with him. Don't go to the wrong side of that guy. Yeah.
Right. James Buster Douglas was like, I'm a 50-1 underdog. We're in Tokyo. My mom died 10 days earlier. And I don't care. I have nothing to lose. And he just went out there and bullied the bully. And then once
YOLO, man.
Once the bully gets exposed,
then everyone else has the recipe. Like, oh, I get it. Don't back up. Walk toward the bully.
Yeah.
And once Tyson got exposed, or maybe exposed himself to himself, and others saw the recipe for beating Tyson, then all of a sudden he went from the most dominant guy, and I'm you know, taking this and condensing it, but he went from unbeatable to very beatable in a very short period of time.
Absolutely. Right. I do. I couldn't agree more. I think it is it's totally a psychological thing, too. Not only like facing down the bully and exposing him, but also just the peeling back the layer. Like when you remember for like 100 years, no one could beat the 4 minute mile, right?
Right.
Then once the first guy did it, with Banyan or whatever
Bannister.
His name was.
Bannister. Roger Bannister.
Once Bannister did it, like within 3 months, like seven other guys had done it because it was just a psychological block.
Oh, that's possible.
Banyan was the other guy from Johnny Quest. It was like Race Banyan and
that's it.
Dr. Quest.
That's it. I was crossing
up. Sat around in tents all night. Like, who has a better name than me? My name's Race Banyan. And like, well, my name is Dr. Quest. I mean, yeah. And then Questlove would come in and sit down and go,
I'd like to get in on this.
Was it Race Banyan and Dr. Quest? I think it
was.
Anyway, I want to thank Quicken Loans for this half of the show. Go to rocketmortgage.com/M. Simply Safe at simplysafe.com/M. Dos Equis, official beer sponsor, college football playoffs. And Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. It Race
Bannon?
Race Bannon.
Oh.
Yeah. Got a good name.
Good jaw.
Even in cartoon form, he's sexy.
Yeah,
he's hot. I'm sure he was a white supremacist and, you know, an Aryan
that's
and everything
like,
else.
That's but, like Mike Pence at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Like 28-year-old Mike Pence.
Yeah. And Johnny Quest, his dad was Dr. Quest, right? I guess so.
What was the series? Was it Dr. Quest?
Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest. Because it looks like some sort of militia cartoon.
It's the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah. They shot it in Plentywood, Montana. There was a whole episode they never aired about stockpiling munitions and garbanzo beans and burying them underground.
A thousand-year food.
Yeah. Going into the limestone caves.
The lost episode. What to do with fertilizer? No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, where are you going with all that fertilizer?
One of the greatest. I've just rented this U-Haul. Don't bother me now.
The most controversial episode yet.
One of the greatest musical scores of a cartoon ever. And if you want to think about like where we're at now with the cartoon where we just take the guy and he gets out the Casio and he hits the drum beat on it and then he layers over some robot nothing over the top of it. If you listen to the score of Johnny Quest, the Saturday morning cartoon, like a 65-piece orchestra, horns, kettle drums, like they just went nuts. Rob, you don't know the you're gonna
no, but I'm loving it already.
Be prepared. Brian will find it, or
I love the commitment.
Yeah, to find the video. Yeah,
yeah. Which I only need the song Max Zapata, if you can find
animators
it.
Don't have that much juice, so the fact that they were able to score this kind of music sounds amazing.
Oh, just dig this. Turn it up. Thanks.
It's a stone jam.
Lizzie's horns kick in. Oh, it's still going.
Dr. Benson Quest.
Race Bannon.
Race War Bannon.
Well,
Haji.
Can't even do that anymore.
Does it find with the last name? The Indian kid and the dog have one name.
Oh, How strong is that score?
Approximately?
Probably late 60s.
I did not spend enough time with Johnny Quest.
No, I'm watching that.
I was like, God, they had lasers and machine guns and stuff you would never. I mean, they're blowing stuff up. They're taking on crazy Earth or alien spiders. I dig it the most.
Yeah, it was a great, show, and it really shaped my youth.
This is where we find out it was like Nelson Riddle taking a gig for the money, like under a different name later on. Like,
yeah,
this is a pretty good
Race
song.
Riddle. It's got a nom de plume so he can cash checks.
Oh, man. I mean, that had great characters.
Oh, he should go under Dixie Riddle. It was great. And the only problem was when I used to watch that show, I was, 10 years old, I'd watch Johnny Quest, and every week they'd be taking their jet to a new exotic location, sure. And they'd be fighting off the evil natives, and the dog was barking, and Haji was his best friend, and he'd be like standing on a camel. There's another opening to that too, where he's actually doing the flute and having the cobra come out of the basket.
The snake charmer.
Like, Haji's like standing on a camel and they're riding. And then I'd go look at my dirt lawn and see my mom in a room yelling "freak out" and look around North Hollywood, and I was like, oh God, am I miserable now? Like I want this life. I want my dad to be named Race Bannon and have a friend named Dr. Quest.
That's what this world needs right now, is a new Johnny Quest with the same storyline. Because everything right now is so preachy. It's all, well, did you get the lesson that we hit you over the head with 100 times? No, I don't care about that. Give me some gunplay. Make something blow up and give me a kick-ass stealthy jet.
I agree.
Can fly around.
64 to 65. So I must have seen it, like, obviously reruns on Saturday morning TV. But it only ran for one season.
Yep, 26 episodes.
That's not enough.
Race is probably holding out for a contract deal, and then same thing that happened with Dukes of Hazzard. I got Race's brother in there.
Hanna-Barbera, right. Too.
Hanna-Barbera. What music? Who did the music to that
thing? I can't
find
who did the original, like, who did that, the one we just heard. I'm trying to figure it out.
All right. Rob is here. We have Riggles Picks to get to as well. Rob Riggles, Ski Master Academy, the number one show on Sony Crackle, everyone. You can binge watch it for free on SonyCrackle.com. Gina has a list. People have been tweeting me. Just sort of people they hate in society. And, like, I am much less, like, people go, well, don't you hate Antifa? And they go, and don't you hate the Klan? And I go, yeah. Like, I guess, they don't affect me. Like, I don't run into them or anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's more the guy who spits his gum out on the sidewalk on a hot day actually affects me more than Antifa does, because I step in it.
That's
and
true.
Then it's you know, gotta freeze it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, people started sort of tweeting the guys, they hate. And they're mostly always guys. Do you have some of those people?
I got two pages of them.
Oh, okay. God.
So at Dave J. Rue says, I'm convinced the same people that dump out their old coffee in the convenience store parking lot are the same ones that overindulge in Costco samples.
This is off the Costco sample guy.
Yes. This is where these were based on.
Well, this is Rob. This is a riff of basically, please police yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it says one sample per customer, your customer, one sample for you. The old lady working the skillet behind the thing is not going to enforce this. You shall enforce this.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right, and the sign couldn't be any clearer.
Right,
Where's the confusion?
El Penguinito says, guy who leaves the shopping cart in the parking space next to the cart return corral so
don't
no one
that.
Can park
don't
there.
Oh,
he's the worst.
Son of a bitch.
There's so many places to leave the cart. I was a grocery bagger for 2 years in high school. That was my high school job. There are so many places to leave it. Leave it up on a curb. Leave it like between a spot. There are so many places. Or the cart return, God forbid. There's so many places.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just do not block a spot.
Yep. David Hay, 77, says, guy who spits chew into pop bottle and leaves on his desk at work. That is specific.
Wow.
The dippers.
We're from Kansas. We've seen that once or twice.
Oh, I know the dippers very well.
The dippers. Also, when you discover the dipper, like, you see a guy and he's like sitting around you or something, and maybe you're watching sports or something. It's not like he's sitting across the table from you. It's like you're at a sports bar or something. You're all kind of focused on the wall of
flat panel televisions. But you see the guy's been drinking the same Diet Dr. Pepper for 4 hours. And also he's doing a move with it where he's drinking like they drink in a movie where they're not trying to drink.
It goes to his lips.
It's like, and there's this part where you have this little discovery moment where you're like, what is he? And then and it's a clear bottle.
It's disgusting.
And it's filled in at the bottom.
Look, there was a time in my life when I lived in New York and I dipped. I played on the New York Rugby Football Club. So I was new to town and I was looking for friends. I didn't know how to play rugby, but they were a great bunch of guys. But they all dipped. So I was like, yeah, give me a fatty. Why not? I'm such a peer pressure nerd. So I was like, I'll do it. And I had done it before in the Marines. No big deal. Anyway, but I was spitting into a bottle one time playing pool and someone grabbed the bottle to take a swig and they got a big taste of my spit. And it caused a problem. Yeah, as you can imagine. I learned a lesson that night.
What else? So did the person who took a swing.
By the way, going back to the shopping cart guys, those douchebags, have you ever seen the guy that doesn't just leave it, but actually takes an effort and ghost rides it across the parking
That's
lot?
That's dumb.
Just launches it.
Yeah.
And thinking, I don't know what, because I was like, what did I just see? And I'm assuming that they were trying to launch it hard enough that it went and hit the curb and somehow got over it, or they sent it to the far end of the parking lot. But
they're
I've seen
way too
ghost ride it. Yeah. And then turn their back and walk away, not to see the final result.
That's like them walking away from an explosion in the movie.
Yeah, slow motion. Yeah, there's a big cart version of that, too, that they have at the Home Depot and stuff, where the guys don't put their stuff back. There's also the guy who snatches up your cart if you're at the Home Depot. You leave it in the electronics aisle, and you hop across to the pneumatic tile chipper aisle or whatever it is, and you'll come back. Someone will grab that.
Damn.
You got to throw something in there. You have to throw an item in there. Child. A lock of hair, anything. You have to get some of your DNA into that thing because people will just scoop
Great
that
cart.
Thing up.
Yes.
But also, it's kind of a weird conceit because you're going, I'm walking into Home Depot. I would like a cart, but I'm going in and I'm going to find a cart.
By ear.
I'm going to find a cart in here. That
I'll let it choose
somebody
me.
Else's cart.
I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah.
It's a scumbag on a whole nother level, too, because what happened is they walked in and realized, they had more than they're going to need more than they can carry.
Impulse buys.
So then they just start grabbing,
And
then they steal.
Right.
So they're not only they're piss poor planning. They're also a thief.
Yes, they're bad planning because they think they're coming in there for a couple of weenie rollers, like a couple of those foam weenie rollers. Sure. Like I just need two weenie rollers, and then they get into the paint department. And they're like, oh, I need some primer. Yeah. And next thing you know, now they don't want to go back out into the parking lot
and go find their own
cart.
They're too lazy. So not only are they piss poor planning thieves, they're lazy because they won't go out and get their thing. They're the worst of humanity.
Yes,
the threefer.
That's right. Sorry.
Travis Suter says, dude who misses the trash can sees he missed it and keeps walking.
Boo.
Yeah, that guy's a piece of shit.
These are all sociopaths.
Kip Yarbles, those who hang out in the left lane going 5 below the speed limit, blocking traffic until an opening for the people behind them is available, then they speed up to block them. Mm. That is quite common out here.
Yes. I almost clipped somebody today coming in just because they're like sort of stopping for no reason. But L.A. is a perfect storm of people that can't drive and highways that aren't, car worthy. They're unroadworthy cars and unroadworthy roads.
Car-worthy roads.
We have them both here.
With just a sprinkling of narcissism on top
That's
of all
right.
of it.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Justin Gern says, guy who asked for directions at the toll booth.
Yeah, I don't like... There's a few things I don't... Ooh. There's a couple things. There's two directions here. There's the guy we've talked about before where you're waiting at the counter and then the phone rings and they go, a Napa Auto Parts. And they're like, I don't know. What's that? Those plugs? Oh, that's for Camaro automatic? A V6 or V8? Right, hold on a second. And the guy you see the guy walking back to the parts room and you're like, hello, I'm waiting. I'm here.
I've been here.
This guy's in a hot tub. Yeah. He's wearing a banana hammock. He's got a 3-beer buzz. Yeah. And he's like, why should I haul my hot abbed ass into the Napa Auto Parts when I can just call somebody there and have them do my fucking bidding for me? And he's just calling and I'm there. I'm in line. You got to hold. You got to tell that guy, hold on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Gold medallion too.
Medallion,
hot tub. Big gold chain medallion.
That's right. And, he's in there with his lady friend.
Yeah.
We're not exactly sure what that means.
So undefined.
I know. Like, is he paying her?
Is that a neighbor?
She's so much younger. What do you mean, lady friend? He introduces her as his lady friend.
Like his son's friend? Or is like.
Yeah, he's just saying lady friend. I don't know what that means.
Like gal pal?
Is this divorce final? Like, his lady
friend.
Does
she know that?
Yeah.
So undefined.
So undefined.
Can I piggyback on the toll booth one? Because a very similar one, which I think I'm afraid a lot of people who listen are this person because I encounter them. I go to see a lot of movies, right? At the mall, like, you know, because that's where the theater is and everything. On an almost daily basis, when I go to see the movie, I encounter guy who pays for the ticket for the parking at the gate. You pay at the kiosk where you can stand in line and fumble your card and get a receipt and do whatever you have to do. Don't pay. The gate is for putting the card in and leaving.
Shouldn't be an option.
Don't pay at the gate. That is a sociopathic move. That is,
Saturday night was at the theater.
And I'm afraid this is Adam Carolla.
Well, a couple things. A world. I'm at the theater.
Oh,
we're
God.
Going Saturday night.
Here it is.
Some bald asshole behind me is honking.
No, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Because it was Arclight, and because the deal was, well, we're going to drop my son off at this place, and he's going to sleep over, and then we're going to head off to the Arclight. The friend's house, who was just off the, supposed to be right on the freeway on ramp to take us to Pasadena, was way up the hill. And of course, we're running late because everyone's always running late. And the Arclight will lock your ass out.
Oh, yeah.
They used to lock us out all the time.
Okay.
Because we're losers and we'd show up. We were always late and, you know, we'll miss the previews, but they would, the Arclight in Hollywood will lock
that
your
is,
ass out.
That is correct.
Yes, I've seen this.
I did not know if the one in Hollywood, in Pasadena, had the same
Machiavellian policy.
Right. Which I respect and appreciate. But in a way, like when a boss has a young employee tell him off. You don't really like it, but he reminds me of a young you, and he appreciates your moxie. Like, I like their moxie. I just don't like being told off in my office. But yes. I appreciate what they're doing, except for we're going to get locked out.
Yeah.
Because Sonny's friend was at the top of a hill, and it took us an extra 10 minutes. And the next thing you know, so I dropped Lynette out. I was driving her car. I dropped her off in front of the theater, and she was going to like run in and like check us in before they shut the gate, so to speak. I then went to go park her car and then realized, oh, she's got her keys. She has the fob.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got the fob. I pulled the ticket, but she had the fob. And I then took what looked like her purse out of the floor, thinking the fob was in there. Of course, fumbled through a bunch of makeup and junk. And then I was like, oh, it's not here. Oh, she has it. Okay. The car will just lock me out of it, which the car did. Mm-hmm. I then hid the purse under the tire because I didn't want to carry the purse into the thing. Seemed like wasn't much in there. As we were walking, here's a tip for everybody. Have a system for all your tickets and your room keys and all the things of that nature. I will always take the ticket that I've pulled and like just put on the dash or put it on the seat. Like I hate that. Oh, that feeling. Ugh. Like when you're feeling
where'd
your pockets.
It
like, is it in the theater? Did it fall out of my pocket? Like what'd I do?
I missed something. So forgive my ignorance. Why was leaving the purse under the tire a better move than simply carrying it in with you? Did I miss that?
I had deemed that there was nothing of value in this purse.
Just $800 worth of makeup.
Rings.
I'd also deemed that it was not a purse, that her purse had the fob in it, and this was some sort of auxiliary kit. I'd also deemed that there was a low danger of it being stolen, especially if nobody could see it.
Okay. You know what's zero danger of being stolen?
Carrying it into a movie theater. Oh, I am very much wired this way. If there is a low percentage that it could be stolen, I'll put it. Okay. I just tucked it out of sight, and there it was. And a little passive aggressive for being locked out of the car. Yeah. Like I felt weird. Like I'm locked out of my own car in this parking
lot. I'll show you.
As we're walking up to the car, Lynette said, where is the ticket you pulled? I said, it's on the passenger seat. We need to get it and go to the kiosk. She said, just hand it to the lady. And we did.
Now, there was no action, and there was nobody behind us.
There was a reaction. Oh,
there was no one behind
There was nobody. Okay. There was no action. There was no busyness. It was 11 o'clock at night, and there was nobody around, and that was fine. We didn't hold anybody up, but I did.
This is a slippery slope, my friend. It's a slippery slope.
But it is, but Lynette's an enabler, because I said we got to go to the kiosk and pay for the thing, and she's like, just give it to the lady.
But I'm with you on a couple things. One, consistency. I always take my ticket. I always put it in the same spot so I don't play that silly game where you look like a douchebag patting yourself down.
Right.
I think that's wildly important. And because I see friends all the time going, oh, where did I put it?
Is it in your purse?
Yeah, right. They're doing this mad search. I'm like, don't just be consistent. It's the simplest thing in the world. Yep. You always know it's above your visor. Or you always know it's in your cup holder. Just do it.
Very Marine-y of you.
Every time. It's so simple.
Yeah,
and also, you didn't, 11 o'clock at night, you didn't jam anybody up.
See, no, I did engage in the behavior that Brian detests. And it takes a big man to admit that. A man like Race Bannon. All right, give me another one.
Lady who changes her baby's diaper in a fitting room and leaves the diaper
no
there?
No one does that.
I'm happy to say I've never seen that. These That's disgusting.
I can also say this. Piggybacking on the toll booth information person or the anybody information person or the conversation anybody, run into a neighbor, hey, how's it going? Roll the window down, whatever. Talk as long as you like. Simply pull off to the side. Mm-hmm. Like, just simply go, I need something. The people behind me don't need evidently what I need. So I'm just going to pull off here and then I'll walk in and ask the toll operator, blah, 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 or the neighbor, blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever it is, whatever you're looking for. No problemo. Simply pull yourself out of line. Mm-hmm. That's all. Sorry.
Not a lot to ask.
It seems so simple.
Yeah, another grocery cart guy. Oh, people who tap fish tanks in dentist offices, even though there's a sign saying, don't tap the fish tank.
I didn't even see that one.
That's just spite.
Guy who uses speakerphone in waiting room. Guy at the gym that stands with dumbbells directly in front of the rack to do his curls and blocks everyone else.
That dude. Yeah.
Gym etiquette.
I think that's it. I have an addendum to one. We were talking about, you know, people who do stuff like the cart stealer at Home Depot. What about the person who does it and then lies about it? That is even worse. That's so much more egregious, because when I went home to Kansas a couple weeks ago, I put my backpack down so I could go pee while people were getting on the plane, and I come back and my backpack's moved into another seat and there's some middle-aged dude sitting there, and I said, excuse me, you picked up my backpack and moved it and took my seat. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know what's going on. What did I do?
That was on the plane?
Yeah.
Southwest?
Yeah. That's because I had to pick my own seat and I had to pee. So I thought, let me get this out of the way now. Put my stuff down, because no one's going to leave the plane with my backpack.
Right.
And he moved it and then just got all befuddled and sweaty about it.
Did you end up in the middle?
Absolutely not. I sat in front of him and was going to be super passive aggressive and tilt my seat back the whole time, then realized my seat didn't tilt. So I grabbed my backpack in a huff and sat behind him.
Southwest flight is when you're playing golf and you put the dime down and move your ball and the other guy's putt out. Like, that is you. That's your spot.
That's your marker.
That is your marker.
It would never have occurred to me that someone would just pick up on an empty plane and move my bag and sit down.
It's a Bush League move, and he's a jerk off for doing it.
Thank you.
Yes, agreed. But it is Southwest. No. It's like all
bets are off.
Here's what happens. I end up, because I take Southwest back to Kansas City myself, because it's the direct flight, and I always end up boarding first, because I fly Southwest so much that I'm like whatever, an A member or whatever. So I get on first, because my wife never remembers to do the tickets early enough. So they're like in the B's and C boarding section.
You don't pre-board for her?
I do. I go in the A section. Okay. I go in the A section. But I'm loaded up with my kids' backpacks, her stuff. So I literally, I'm that jerk off who, but I take an aisle seat, I get my wife an aisle seat, and then I take the two window in the middle for the kids.
Yeah.
But then I got to do this number where I'm, and then by the time the bees get on, like everybody's come by and they've looked at it, and then they look at me and I get the judgment, and I'm always doing the, I'm so sorry, the kids, it's the kids. And then I'm the jerk off a little bit.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
There is a syndrome I'm just starting to drill down on, which is seaboarding. Anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had to change our flight. Me and Mike, we just flew to Sacramento or not Sacramento, Oakland or wherever the hell. We flew to a million different airports. This weird thing where it's like, what are we? I'm 18C. What are you? 19C. We got a full flight. We're middle of the seas. Like, we're not going to sit. Jose. We're not going to sit next to each other, I don't think. And then there's this one at Burbank where you go, We'll get on the back of the plane. That's our big move. That's our big strategy.
It's a good one.
We'll do an end around. We'll go get on the back of the plane. And then it's all center seats open. It's an anxiety that you have in a Southwest sea boarding. You don't have it with Air B.
You'll be fine.
It's always, how about, this would never work, but what if we reserve sea boarding for all the single people flying?
Okay. Oh, single flyers.
Because there's always a ton of them on the Southwest flight, and they get up on, let them make a friend. I'm having anxiety because my wife or Mike, and we oftentimes have business to do, on the flight, and you're not going to sit next to those people. All right, we'll do Riggle's picks in a second. First, I'll tell you about the Simply Safe. I'm a big fan of Simply Safe security. It's prepared for everything. A storm, if it takes out the power, your phone line gets cut. Your home line gets cut. A keypad gets destroyed. Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst case scenario, but Simply Safe with two eyes is always ready. That's what makes it great. It's just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everybody I know. We all have it here. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No drilling, no crawling around in the crawl space or the attic of your house, pulling wires, no ex-con rummaging around through the underwear drawer of your wife. No, just you and Simply Safe. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. Go there, simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Let's do the Riggle Report right now.
It's time for the Riggle Report.
Friends, it's October, and that means it's the greatest sports month of the year. I mean, it truly is. You have playoff baseball. You have NFL. You have NFL, you have NBA, NHL,
college football.
You got all college football going on. I mean, it is the great. There's never a night where there's nothing on. There's always something awesome on. So,
you know what the end of October means for this podcaster? It means the exact same conversation I have every fucking year for the last 250 years, which is Jesus Christ, it's hotter than shit out here. My God. The fucking Halloween, I'm seeing Halloween, there's pumpkins in France, 92, it is so dry, what is going on? Every year, I have the exact same, there's a ghost and a pumpkin, and it's fucking burning up, it gets so hot, it's all new, it's a brand new outrage, every single year.
I'm already hearing it, I'm
walking my dog through La Cañada, it's 91 degrees, it's super hot in Santa Ana, and whoever I'm talking on the phone with, I'm doing the first mile. Simply complaining about the outrage. We're coming into Thanksgiving. We're coming into Jesus Christ.
Can you believe this shit?
We got a fucking break. What's going on? That's all we do.
My waitress this morning was like, God damn it. It's so hot out. I don't want to wear shorts anymore. I'm tired of wearing shorts. She was having a fit about shorts. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, lady. You live in Southern California.
There's this weird thing. I don't know. It's probably a SoCal thing. It cools off a little middle of October and you go, all right,
thank God.
Turn the page. Yeah. And then there's one last blast furnace right around Halloween, and it fucks everyone up every time because the candy's melting, I tell you.
Sorry.
Well, no, October truism, and there's just nothing we can do about that, friends. But a lot of crazy stuff going on in the sports world. I don't know if you saw this, speaking of Los Angeles, the Lakers the other night playing Houston Rockets. Home opener. I mean, it's a home opener for LeBron. He's excited about it. Everything feels right. And then all of a sudden, Rondo and Chris Paul get into a fight.
Aww.
And I'm talking a good one. I mean, hot jabs to the face.
Ooh. Oh, I see a finger.
It's
in the face. Like a Three Stooges move.
Boom.
Yeah, they're throwing punches.
And they're throwing haymakers. They're throwing some haymakers.
Two really likable guys.
That's right. That's a shocker.
And then on the on the side, didn't Anthony Kiedis get involved a little bit?
Ooh, did you see that? Like cross right there? That was a nice.
Red Hot Chili Pepper got into
it? He's on the side. He's yelling. He's throwing stuff. He has his middle finger up.
Oh, really?
Oh, he gets into it.
Who?
Mayweather sitting courtside too, watching all this.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they said, you know, because it seemed out of place for these players who are both all stars at one point, you know, to exchange blows like that. So they were trying to figure it out. It looked like Chris Paul initiated by shoving the face, but as it turns out, there might have been a spit in the face. Rondo might have spit on him, which I think they may have found in high def. Ooh, there, right there. You see that?
I'd rather be peed on. I've said that many times.
Oh, he's wiping his face.
Chris Paul just wiped his face, and now he's pushing his face, and now
he's picking his nose.
He's going to come back with a cross right here, shebang.
Oh. Wow, it's good punching.
Hey, you like that kind of punch with the non-dominant hand, Adam?
Yeah, threw his left.
Rondo
Although
might be
I don't
left-handed.
Know if he's left-handed.
Oh, damn it.
I bet he's left-handed.
It looked like a glancing blow because, you know, Chris did.
Oh, who's that?
Oh, that's the guy that got the four-game suspension.
Damn.
Ingram got 4-game suspension. Rondo got 3 games, and Chris got 2.
Well, the Lakers are 0-2, right?
Yes.
So they should suspend as many people as possible for as long a period of time as possible.
Get some new blood and better rest.
That's right.
Yeah, and I know the NBA
starting a power forward, Anthony Kiedis, everybody.
I know NBA has been trying to get away from all these fights because when they had that one awesome meltdown back in the 90s when Meta World Peace went into the crowd and beat the hell out of the fans.
The palace.
And, yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. Well, that really, like, the sales, ticket sales dropped off.
And they
had to
brand.
Do PR
it
marketing. They had to do this whole marketing campaign for years to try to get fans back. And now they got them back. Just in time to lose them again.
Wow.
So anyway, Philadelphia, the Eagles, NFL Super Bowl champions, defending champions, were playing Carolina this week. They were up 17-0 in the fourth quarter. Seems like a lock. They thought it was a lock because they started dancing right in the middle of the fourth quarter. They started celebrating, which it's fundamental, guys. You never start celebrating before the end of the game because what's going to happen? You're going to get snake bit, and that's what happened to these guys. They ended up losing the game 21-17.
Ooh.
They got 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Carolina came on strong and embarrassed the former champs.
I feel so strongly about what you said. I don't even dance at a wedding. I feel like, why are we celebrating this union?
Before it's over.
Why jinx this union?
Talk to me at the 50-year anniversary. I'll dance then.
I'll be at the bar reflecting on this union, not prematurely celebrating to cool the gang.
You have to be careful, man. How far does that go? Because then the next thing you know, you're dancing at the funeral. You know what I mean? You're like, he made it all the way. Then that's a bad
absolutely.
Sign. That's a bad sign to send.
I had a buddy of mine, and we all we were at a wedding, and we all got up and made toast. You know, we're trying to make nice. We're doing our best. And I was like, why don't you get up and give a toast? Like, I ain't toasting this wedding. I mean, he was furious about the whole thing. And he actually got it right. It didn't pan out.
He's not toasting that wedding?
Yeah.
Wow. Was he involved? I mean, was he a family member?
He was not a family member. He was a friend of the groom and the bride, I think. And more the groom.
Probably not the bride.
Not the bride. I'm not a big fan, I don't think.
Jeez.
And he made his decision, and he made everybody aware at table 9 that he was not he was not toasting this particular union. Also, listen, this has been the year of kickers in the NFL. I don't know if you've been catching any games, but it is all coming down to field goal kickers and extra points. And the games are so tight. There's so much parity in the league that it really is. Every game is up for grabs. And it usually comes down to who has the ball last or who makes the long kick. Justin Tucker, kicker for the
Ravens.
For the Ravens.
He's a good kicker.
222 out of 222 extra points until this weekend.
In his career.
He missed.
Justin Tucker.
Aww.
The ball just pulled hard,
this is,
too.
This is the thing. It was an extra point. It would have tied the game, right? Would have sent it into overtime. Now, if you watch the clip, though, it looks like it went right over the top of the goalpost. So a lot of people say it was good. Now, that looks bad.
That was bad.
That
There's
was
one
bad.
In the second quarter.
There's one in the same about. Game,
same
I think.
Game, I think, yeah. Okay.
Also, I want to know... I would like the two goalposts at the top to communicate a little better because I will watch these games and they have the ribbon that hangs off it to let them know which way the wind is blowing. One can be going like violently one direction, the other's completely flaccid, 16 feet across. Like, what's going on over here?
What does he know?
That is not going on over here in a dome stadium, or at least it's a giant ring that's 11 stories tall all the way around. Why is there such a big difference in what's happening over here and over here? I think it's about 16 feet, or is it 20 feet? I'm trying to think of the width. It's probably like 20 foot.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll see like one flag just having a seizure and the other flag's like, hey, what do you want from me? And it's like, why aren't you just kind of doing what that other flag is doing?
I have a stupid question. Are there those flags on the top of the goalposts in domes?
Maybe for the AC unit.
I bet they're just there, just sort of there, but I'd be curious to see.
No, like none of us know.
HVAC
like,
guy.
I'm assuming they're there.
So.
I'd like to know.
See, oh, yeah.
Also,
I don't know. Why don't they just extend them up too a little bit? You know?
Oh, God.
Novelizing.
Don't get me started. Yeah, we just saw the ball go directly over. Did they call it no good?
Yeah.
It went directly over the top.
No, the extra point was no good, but the second
over the top was determined to be good.
Oh, that was good. Okay, yeah. It went directly over the top. It looked like it would have hit, and then the question would have been, would it have stayed in or caromed out?
And can't they just put some lasers on top? Like, so it's almost like a trip, you know? Like,
oh, that's a good idea.
But if the ball goes
right back
over.
Yeah. All right,
we've had this discussion 10 million times.
Lasers.
Raise it. It's 18 and a half feet wide. Yeah. All right, that's not a big distance to have things
specific,
like very different going on. Also, what if, and they're always talking about shaving a few points or something, what if you could get hold of those little flags that dangle from the top of it and control it with a remote control?
It look like crazy wind.
And get them pulling out hard one way. I mean, the kicker would always compensate the other way, right? I mean, big time. Yeah.
I think anything's fair in love and war and football.
And football.
And what a good is a home field advantage if you don't have little gadgets, little things.
All right, you got one more, Rob? Or?
No, that's it. Other than the Rams are 7-0, the last undefeated team in the NFL. And that's always a big deal because the 72 Dolphins are the only team to go undefeated, although they went 17-0. And the Patriots of 2008 went 18-0, but whatever. They ended up losing 19. Right. They lost in the Super Bowl. But the bigger point is there's one team left that can, you know, and every year it's always who's the last team that's undefeated. Right now it's the Rams at 7-0.
It was crazy that the Patriots lost that game to the Giants, who were like 1-2 at some point and in danger of going like 1-3.
And they barely squeezed
in the playoffs. And it was like Eli Manning's a quarterback. And it's like all I remember is I was at Jimmy's house and there was like Kathy Griffin was there and she brought what's his name
from Donald Trump's head,
Apple Computers.
Oh, Wozniak.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak was there and he was handing me like $3 bills and explaining I could use them.
They printed $2 bills, right? Didn't have like a stack. He printed them?
Like $2 or $3 bills. I was like, do them to do coke, right? But I can't go in and buy anything with this. She's like, go ahead and use them. I'm like,
for magic tricks?
It's basically like some swarthy guy handing you a bag going, go ahead and go to the airport. And you're like, I don't know. It's just backyard fruit. No big deal. Go ahead. Like, go ahead.
Like, seems like a movie I've seen.
So Wozniak was like, oh, just go spend this. And I was like, thanks. But all I remember at some point, there's a bunch of Wazes and Kathy Griffins and folks like that. And there's like 2 minutes left in the game. And it was clear at some point that, right at the end, that the Patriots were going to snap the loss. They were not going to go 19-0. And I was drunk, of course, but I was yelling at everybody. This is so huge. Like, I was yelling, like, why aren't you more excited? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand what's going on?
You're yelling to Kathy Griffin and Steve Wozniak?
Yes, of course. They didn't give a shit what was going on, but I was yelling, like, you understand what just happened here? The most dominant team in football is... This team should have cruised to its 19th victory easily, and this is what's going on. Tyree with the helmet.
Stephen Hawking is like, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was yelling at everybody. All right, let me tell you about Dos Equis. This college football season, remember, let's make a little exaggeration, makes everything a little more interesante. That's my new word. It's like interesting. Dos Equis, the only beer Steve Spurrier stopped for every time the crowd carried him off the field, shouting, take me away. That Dos Equis isn't going to drink itself. Most importantly, remember, keep it interesante this college football season.
Es bueno.
Es bueno. Dos Equis, everyone. College football wouldn't be the same without Dos Equis. Official beer, sponsor of college football playoffs. Oh, yeah, playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's coming soon. Love that. Drink Dos Equis responsibly. 2018, imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Again, Dos Equis, enjoy some responsibly, watch a little college football, and especially the college football playoffs with Dos Equis. Rob, let's see. Rob has his Riggles picks every week on Fox NFL Sunday, of course. How are they treating you over there?
They're good. They're good. What else can I say?
They're very good. They're really good.
Well, I remember when Jimmy used to do it a million years ago, and he would like make fun of Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw, and, you know, all the guys, and they'd never been, Howie Long had never been made fun of in his entire life,
let alone by a guy like Jimmy.
Right?
It's interesting. It is interesting. They,
maybe Bo Jackson gave him a ribbing now and then, but
it's a gene. Like, you know, I feel like we all grew up sort of permanently humbled by our environment,
life.
You know, and life
torture
and everything else, and. You know, getting out of the gate, having two parents not like you, that's a humbling experience.
It's a tough putt.
Yeah. Right. Then you just carry that momentum straight to junior high and the ladies. And by the time you get to 30, you have a pretty thick skin and you're used to it.
Yeah.
But Howie Long, I don't think he's ever been made fun of in his entire, like at that point, zero. He made it from zero to like 43 with ribbing him. And Jimmy would rib him, and he'd rib Terry Bradshaw about the same thing, or, you know, different things. But these guys were big men on campus their entire life, and they would get pissed. Like, they were like, what is this? And it's like, that's a guy making fun. He's a comedian, and he's paid, and he's going to make fun of the guys that are on the show, and you're one of the guys on the show. And they're like, not funny. I'll kick his ass if I see him again. Like, it was weird. They just never flex that muscle ever.
It's 100% true. It's 100% true. It is. I saw it. Like when I started, this is my seventh season of doing it, and it's so funny too because now they've got the callus built up. They've figured it out. They're much more playful and joyful. But when Jimmy started it, I do remember it was new territory for them for sure. But now, like, I'll give them the business, which, you know, they didn't know what that was, but I'll give them some business, and they protest it when they come back. They'll be like, not funny, Riggle, not funny. And then they'll submarine your whole piece. And you'll be like, okay, you know. But the second you don't give them the business, the next time you see them, they're like, what's up? Why you didn't say a word about me? And you're like,
right.
What?
Yes.
Are you
well,
kidding
which
me?
Is it?
Yeah. If I give you the business, you crap on it. If I don't give you the business, you whine about it. They're crazy. They are very nice guys. I do enjoy them. So I try to give them a gentle ribbing.
The appropriate amount of business.
The appropriate amount of business. That's what it is. It's really dialing in the right business.
Right.
Long, obviously, his son's on the Eagles. He was in here, I think, last year or something. Last year, he donated all his game checks to charity.
Oh.
I don't know if people know that. And they went to the Super Bowl and won. So I wonder if there's
deal.
A little good karma helped. But he did. He said, Chris Long said he's given all his game checks to charity. That was last year. And I thought for some reason, Max Pata, he was going to retire after last year. Seems like a kind of a last move. But, Middleton's a guard for the Bears. God, what kind of juice.
What
is
a life.
Going you know, through how, that pouch
how,
of his.
How familiar are you with Howie Long? Do you know
I know which one he is.
Okay, he's not only a world-class athlete, an NFL Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever to play his position, a handsome bastard.
He is a handsome bastard. And every time I say something, when you ask me something like that, and I go, yeah, kind of, my dad dies a little bit.
Yeah.
Being a sports announcer for multiple decades.
A 60-year-old man.
Well, hold on a second,
He's a beautiful man.
He's
and that's why he went from zero to 43 with no business in his life.
Right.
He's in the bubble.
He was also in a little film called Broken Arrow. Okay.
So if you
don't want his stock to go any higher, it just did. I think he went to Purdue. Did he go to Purdue?
Oh, that's a
Boilermaker and
Villanova.
Villanova. He went to Villanova. And I think, Max, you're going to have to look this one up, in the just to help make our point of never been fucked with, I think he was like the heavyweight boxing champ of the campus or something. I think he like boxed in college as well.
Sure.
So in terms of the guys,
6'5", 280 pounds.
Guys you never make fun of. It is. What was he in Villanova? Like, I don't even know if they have college boxing anymore.
Feels like
anymore.
One of the things they would have had back then, you know, like in the mid to late 70s. I don't know
right.
if they have you anymore.
Right.
Yeah, he was
like the tough man's, the old tough man's.
He was the Northern Collegiate Heavyweight Boxing Champion at Villanova.
That's pretty badass.
There's yeah. all more reasons for Jimmy not to make fun of him.
His cup runneth over, that's for sure.
All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, help fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car three times, fool! Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is the best. It is full synthetic. It is Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right, Rob Riggle, everyone. Riggle's Picks on Fox and the podcast, Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tione. Tiana. I got Leone. I got, what's her name?
Taya Leone.
Taya Leone.
By the way,
Sarah
Tiana's stand-up special, great.
Yeah.
I just checked it out.
On Comedy Central.
Really funny.
I saw snippets of it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I saw you guys tweeting about it. So God bless you. Chris Gethard is coming in here. We'll bring him in a second. We'll say goodbye to Rob. And I will tell everyone quickly, Phoenix, stand up live this Saturday. Basic Cable commentary with Adam Ray and Mike Oggs. We're going through all the movies, and we're going to break down the game film. So come on out this Saturday if you're in Phoenix and say hi to us. The Grove will be up there with Rob Riggle. That'll be November 30th. We'll do a live podcast there. And we'll take a quick break. Good sport. We'll be right back with Chris after this.
Spend Tuesdays with Dr. Drew.
Hey, let's suggest you listen to the Dr. Drew podcast. It comes out every Tuesday, and it is my chance to, I love doing it, it's my chance to really dig into people and find out what makes them tick, what's going on. It's a long form where we can get into material and topics that I just can't get into anywhere else, and it's a privilege to be able to spend that time really getting in deep. So please join me on the Dr. Drew podcast.
The Dr. Drew Podcast, every Tuesday on Corolla Digital and Podcast One.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. Good sport. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sport. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights, riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode, belated though it might be, to Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Week 7 of the NFL season is now in the books. Check out the Dave Damashek football program wherever you find your favorite podcast for a full review of all that just happened and all that still has yet to come. It's heating up, Ace, and we're only at the halfway. We're not even at the halfway pole. How are you?
I'm well. I love football.
Yes, you do. I heard about
watching it with the friends and occasionally the family. It is, for me, for a guy who is always kind of dishing, it's nice to sit back and laugh with the likes of the Centauras and the Kevin Henches and the Grizzlies and and the Sals and all that is the crew that goes and watches the football.
Funny, heavyweight comedian types.
It is in a fertile, target-rich environment.
That's right. Between the commercials and 7 hours worth of pro football action and the dances and the bad calls.
Yes.
And the cutaways to the people in the stadiums. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, the only oh God, try to explain this. I mean, the only real downside is the inevitable weight gain of you know, Romanesque gorging once a week times 16 or with playoffs and Super Bowl 20 weeks. It just ends up, you end up putting on 3 pounds a week.
Well, because
for the rest of
your life. It's a weird part of the human psychology that, and definitely I'm afflicted with this, is that once you get in, if you don't keep to a strict, I'm not going to eat bad food for a while so you can lose weight. If you do say, ah, well, listen, it's Sunday. I'm going to let my hair down. I'm just going to gorge myself. For some reason, within the next day or two, you're like, well, now I'm already off the tram. May as well just keep going now. Why is it like I got to make good on that one? Not most people like me go like, ah, it's over with. Now I'm just going to keep on slamming as much food as I can into my mouth.
Well, speaking of food, tell me, and buckle up, strap yourself in, hang on to the grab bar, because, Sheck, this is going to throw you through a loop.
Uh-oh.
In the bad pizza department.
Mm-hmm.
I announced last weekend, let's get some pizza pies over here, and I put Ed in charge. Couple of things that people need to kind of focus on in this modern age. Price. You know, the great Shakira said, "The hips don't lie." Was that her song, Gary? And the price don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll hearken back to Matt, the porcelain Punisher Fondelier, and throw him under the bus for a second. I live in a
poor and
then,
bus.
Then I'll get back to the pizza. I live in a affluent neighborhood with no streetlights. It's pitch black at night, and I take my pitch black dog, Phil, out for a walk at night. And pitch black Phil likes to pull his way into the street. And also, I was walking the kids over to the Starbucks at night to get a donut and whatnot. And at some point, I realized I need a flashlight. But in terms of flashlights, I'm tired of changing the batteries. That's my big beef in life. It's 2000 and... There's nothing worse. It's 2018. You pick up your universal remote. You start pushing it. Nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening. Out of batteries. Have to go then figure out how do you have 4 AA batteries? What order are they going in? It's not clearly marked. There's a... You want to talk about black-on-black crime. The inside to all these... holes are black, and then there's an outline, a fine outline of a battery in black. So it's a black outline on a black background with a nipple that sticks out that's 3/32 on one.
Isn't there a universal, like, green equals the little nipple side?
That's a great 2018, call. And I find myself looking at it going, wait a minute, one goes one way, the other goes the other way. I'm not sure. The spring sometimes can be what we call a tell. Like, ooh, the flat part goes on the spring side.
I'm not sure,
but enough with the outline. The outline is an all-black background with a slightly raised black material.
It's like gives you that little literal silhouette of what the battery looks like. That's not clear enough to those of us.
It's a 32nd of an inch wide, this line.
So
and the
right.
only difference between the right side and the left side is a nipple that's 1 millimeter that sticks out 1 millimeter more than the other side. That's it. And you're supposed to study this thing. Just have a universal green or red, or not. Don't even use both. Just green, green. Mm-hmm. Point it this way. We could have learned this all in junior high and got on with our goddamn lives, but they won't do it. Everything, by the way, I don't care if it's a remote control car your kid's playing with. I don't care if it's a universal remote. I don't care what it is. It just has this little outline.
Is tremendous, a tremendous fix that all of society is going to appreciate.
How many times have you done that move where you put them all in, then you put the hatch cover back on, and then it's like, oh.
Well, that's...
Did I get it the wrong direction?
I mean, listen, you're talking about, for the most part, 2 battery situations. When you get into the 6 and the 8 battery situations, the algorithm and the different variations of, well, this one goes... And by the way, why is that? I don't know anything about building stuff like you do, but why is it that the batteries even... Why can't we even make it universal that they all, when you put batteries, they all go up? Why do some go up and some go down? What's even that for?
I don't know why. It's like... It'd be like if they made 2 sleeping bags. Oh, no, Bob, this one you go in head first. Oh, what? No, I was putting my feet in. No. This one, yes, just make them all head first. Just the nipple goes in, matter what.
For real, I want somebody, an electrician or whatever that would be, to explain to me why that thing. Whose game is this? Is this a joke on society from somebody back at the factory? Well, if we do this, and the laughs, we'll just know people.
Imagine the utopia we'd be living in if every time you popped open anything that took batteries, whether it be a flashlight, universal remote, or kids' remote control car, you just knew, and no matter how many rows of batteries went in, and no matter what size they're in, it was always just nipple first. Mm-hmm. Just go in nipple first. Done. Done with life. All right, hold on a second.
We've just saved people so much time if only the battery manufacturers of the world will listen.
Let me tell you about betonline.he, and then mm-hmm. I'll get to throwing Matt and Price and pizza. College football, NFL football, greatest time of the year has arrived. Don't wait to make your online wagers. Head to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code podcast1. Receive 50% sign up bonus today. That's podcast1 for 50% sign up bonus. Betonline.ag, exclusive partner podcast1 Sportsnet. Whether your love is college football or NFL football, betonline.ag has it all. You can get all the action you want, and you can get in on it today. Sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for a 50% bonus. When you sign up, take advantage of this incredible offer now at betonline.ag, online sportsbook experts. So, the price point. And then to the pizza and Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier. I said to him, they must have rechargeable flashlights. I mean, I know they have rechargeable mm-hmm. flashlights. Get me a few of those. I'll keep them by the front entry way there. And then when we go out at night to walk to Starbucks or walk the dog or whatever it is, I'll always have one charged up and I'll always get it. And he said, yeah, okay. And he went on Amazon and he got some stuff and some stuff showed up. And the next day, anyway, the thing he got me was each one was the size of like chapstick. And it plugged in, it charged up, not by having a rechargeable battery, but like plugging into your computer. And it was so dim and so miniature and so whatever. And I said, Matt, these things are horrible. Why did you, where'd you get these or how did you get them? And he said, I got them at Amazon. They're highly rated, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how much were they? And he said, and Gary, we can confirm this. I can't figure it out. But he's like, they're $1.49 a piece. And I was like,
red flag. Right?
Yeah, I was like, Matt, it can't work. It can't be it's got to be $9.99 sort of to $16. But if it's $1.49, it's not going to work. Smash cut to us getting pizza last week, large pizza with like three toppings at this place near the shop, blah, 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 $9.99. I said, I don't think that's enough for a good large pizza with everything. We ended up getting the pizza. We got a Hawaiian style. Sorry, Dave. One. And then, but here's where you really.
I think you would hide that in shame. Keep that within your own.
No, because it's part of the story.
All right.
We got one Hawaiian, then we got like the peppers and sausage and a meatball and a pepperoni. We got all the stuff you need, and we quickly piled right through it. Ed said, I guess the $9.99 should have been a tell. We all just devoured these four large pizzas. The large pizzas were the size of a yarmulke, and we'd all mowed through them. And Google yarmulke size for the reference. And so Ed ordered a couple more pizzas. Another Hawaiian. This time, the Hawaiian showed up, no cheese. Now, I have no idea how this happened.
How does that get out of the store?
If somebody ever says, I want a Hawaiian-style pizza with no cheese, and you're on the other end of the phone, you must stop. And you must treat yourself like a field commander in a war and somebody just said, bomb the embassy. Like, you need to go, I need to affirm that order again.
Yeah.
I need to make sure we didn't have a problem here.
Denzel Washington on the con with Crimson Tide. Like,
That's right.
We need to get that again. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Give me the key!
It makes sense. Nobody who wants a Hawaiian pizza also says no cheese. And Sheck, if you didn't think a pizza could get worse in your mind, the Hawaiian pizza with no cheese. Oh, what a disaster. And then also, who would order that, and why would you deliver it that way? And then they also know they got you by the short hairs, because nobody has this kind of time. Like, I am calling that place. I'm going to reorder this pizza. I demand satisfaction. Like, they all just know you go, oh, fuck it. Matt, how much were the flashlights? Sorry.
Let me just preface this by saying, not my finest moment.
Okay. There's a window of negligence there.
No, you know me. I like a good deal. Mm-hmm. I like a good deal when I see one.
Sure.
It was $3 for $2.98.
Sweet.
$3 for $2.98.
So they were little, like you say, the little chapsticky kind of ones that you could put on a keychain. Those aren't flashlights.
If they're under a dollar a piece, I don't think cops would use them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's good, yeah, the cop going into dark quarters to bust a potential perp wouldn't do the move with the gun in one hand and the flashlight in the other, and as he
right.
turns the corner with those.
Power yeah. move. But that is a power move.
I want to wrap it up with this, Ace. With flashlights, I just saw this. I thought this was an interesting tip that I made it this far in life without ever thinking about this myself. There's that new show on Netflix or Amazon or whatever, where Hill House, Haunted Hill House or whatever. It's a pretty good show. But anyway, the lights go out at one point, and the dad takes out a box filled with flashlights, and the batteries aren't in them yet. And then he puts them in. At the moment, therefore, the batteries are fresh. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like you find it all ready to go and the kids didn't leave it on 5 months ago and now it's all burnt out.
Authenticity.
I thought that was a good call. Have you ever done that?
I mean,
now you have to deal with the house's lights are out, but now is it the nipple? Can you see the nipple?
I can't see.
So, but maybe that is the downside to it. Either way, here's the upside to life. ButcherBox now is in existence, and it better exist in your belly or else you ain't living right. I got a note from Dan. We're very excited at not just here on Good Sports, but also at Dave's of Thunder now, sponsored by ButcherBox, and we're in the heavens as a result of that. That's because, as Ace Carolla has told you for some time now, they deliver not just a quantity, but the highest of quality. They deliver healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken. Yes, you get the free bacon and $20 off with your offer at ButcherBox.com, and you must use the discount code Adam here, free shipping anywhere in the U.S., not in Alaska and Hawaii, but, 48 out of 50 ain't bad. No commitment. You can cancel anytime, but Ace,
if you said
one thing and you said it right, that pork,
ooh la la.
It is the greatest, Ace. I ate it last night. It was grilled up in a pan and it was heaven.
The best. And also, they don't deliver to Alaska and Hawaii, but in Alaska and Hawaii, they just go out and get their own meat.
That's all. Right.
They're redundant. All hunters
they get
over there.
See, savvy operation over there that Dan and company are running at ButcherBox. Either way, I encourage you, nay, demand that you do it today. Use the promo code, the discount code Adam, and like I say, special offer, $20 off and free bacon, ButcherBox.com. Do it or just survive. Don't. You're not living then.
You're not living.
You're merely surviving.
You're surviving. You're not thriving.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, Kibitz with you tomorrow. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports Podcast 1 Hour.